Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, presented by Business West and Living Local. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and here is your host for this episode of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Oh, thank you, and welcome to another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I am George O'Brien, the editor of Business West magazine, and here with us today we have an intriguing guest. We have Tom Senekel. He is the president and CEO of People's Bank in Holyoke. How are you this morning, Tom?
I'm great, George. How are you?
I'm good. Sitting there with your backdrop of a golf course. We like that. We all like to be.
But people can't hear this on the podcast.
I know. They can't see the picture of it, but we can. So anyway, Tom, you and I talk a lot on a fairly regular basis. Seems over the last couple of years, we've gotten in the habit of talking at this time of year about what is coming up with the economy and life in general in the year ahead. We call that economic outlook. Maybe we're a little ahead of schedule for doing that this year, and I want to get to a look ahead in a few minutes. But first, I want to talk about what's going on right now. As a bank president, you've got a pretty unique view of what's happening with the economy and what's going on out there. Very intriguing perspective. Talk about what you're seeing in terms of the economy and this pandemic. I know it was really touch and go earlier this year. Are things improving with the business community as you're seeing it? Or
If you had asked me this, 7 months ago, I would have had a totally different answer. And I think a lot of people would have. But, early on, it was a scary thought. Very scary sitting where I sit and seeing the numbers and seeing, what was going on in the economy back in March and April. I actually started breathing, I think, in June or July again, when things, stimulus hit and felt a little better than March or April. And certainly as the summer has gone on and we go into fall, it is feeling a lot better. But let me just say, in general, I can say that, but there certainly is quite a few sectors of our economy that are not doing so well. And I recognize that, and I don't want to make it sound like things are rosy. They're not. I actually think, a lot of businesses, depending upon your industry, are either doing really well or not so well. And I think it just makes a difference of what you do. And if you're in one of those sectors and that is in high demand, you're doing really well. If you're in one of those sectors that is affected because of the pandemic, you're obviously just barely treading water. And we had some customers in those categories. I have friends in those categories that are struggling right now. So it's in general okay, but obviously there's different sectors that are not doing so okay.
Yeah, start with the who's doing well side of this. There can't be too many sectors that are really doing well in this, but
yeah, I agree with you. There isn't. In our local market, no. In the national market, obviously, the Amazons of the world, the Digitals of the world, that are the larger companies, are just thriving on the digital environment that we're all having to live through. And that's more what I'm referring to as far as companies that are doing well. Some manufacturers are doing well, and there's others that are. We have a couple manufacturers that are in industries that are completely shut down still, that aren't doing well at all. And I think they're treading water and hoping to get to the end of this, that there's light at the end of the tunnel, but whether it's a stimulus or whether it's opening back up, which obviously doesn't look like anytime soon, that they're wondering what's going to happen. I can tell you, trying to think of ones that are doing really well, I can't come up with one top of mind. I think everyone, most industries, and I'm referring to, hospitality, retail, commercial office space, transportation, healthcare, I think has bounced back a little bit, but it's certainly not what it was pre-COVID. So those industries are really, really struggling. That's mostly on the commercial side. On the residential side, I think people are really struggling. I think stimulus and unemployment has reimbursement has been what's helped a lot of people through the crisis. So it's difficult from a banker's perspective to understand the depth of the impact, because early on in this, we were immediately responsive to anyone who asked us for relief. We just responded and said, yes, no problem. And then after 90 days, we asked a few more digging questions, and some people came back, probably 60% of the people came back and said, I'm fine, and continue paying. But then there's the other 40% that are they're making payments and struggling to make payments, but there's hope for relief, and they're wondering when that's going to come. And those are the people that's hard to tell where it's going to end up. So
we'll talk about your industry. Talk about the banking industry. We talked back in the spring. Most of the bankers were predicting that this was not going to be a good year for them, obviously. I'm sure it's unfolded pretty much according to script in a lot of ways. Commercial lending can't be what it was last year or a few years before, but the margins are even tighter.
Let me talk about earnings first. So yeah, we did talk. I remember we talked in the spring, and I think we were in that shock phase of, oh my God, what's coming? And, you know, the way our industry works, anyone who asks us for a deferral, doesn't impact us right away. I think the real impact of this whole economy is next year and into 22 from a banking industry perspective. You know, interest rates, let's talk interest rates for a second, as interest rates came flying down. And when I say interest rates, it's on both sides of what we call our balance sheet. Is loan rates came flying down, and unfortunately, so did deposit rates in order for us to, you know, maintain our margins. And we were able to do that okay, but certainly a lot of people are impacted. Retirees and those people that rely on their savings got severely impacted. So we were okay, but we're at the bottom right now. And the fear is, you know, do interest rates continue to go lower? And if they do, that will have a severe impact, I think, throughout the industry. We obviously cut expenses and managed our way through this, but the largest impact is what we call our loan loss provision. And a lot of my peers are going through this as well. We're putting aside money in reserves this year for future impact. We really haven't measured any negative impact this year. We haven't had a actual impact from the pandemic, and we won't see it until next year and the year after. As let's just take a hospitality, for example. Let's take a hotel. You look at a hotel that was closed for 4 months and now they've slowly reopened, but they're nowhere near the occupancy they need to be in order to make a profit. Well, they're barely making their payments. Some aren't. Some are still in a deferral status. Some are on interest only, hoping to get to the end of this. Well, what does that look like for the rest of the year? Well, from our perspective, it's okay. But I feel for those hospitality owners that are struggling to get to, you know, 60 to 70% occupancy that they can start to make a profit. And at what point do they start saying, we just can't make it? And that's where our industry will start to get impacted in a large way. You're going to see hospitality, and we don't do a lot of restaurant loans, but the restaurant industry is going to be severely impacted. And I think they're in the same boat. Their occupancy going into the winter is really going to be impacted. You know, no one can eat inside, and that's going to have a huge impact. And whether or not they stay afloat is contingent upon, I think, a stimulus, to be honest with you.
Tom, you must go to a lot of bankers associations meetings, probably all of them by Zoom now. What is these associations saying about the rest of this year and next, just in terms of what we can expect, not only within the banking industry, but with the economy in general? There's just a lot of speculation and a lot of talk right now about what's going to happen with the economy.
Yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately, politics play a role in what's going to happen right now. If in my opinion, and what we talk about our industry is, if, you know, the stimulus is on hold, and we all know why with the election coming up, there's political posturing over it. I think there's agreement in Congress over, you know, businesses that need it. They need a second round. Individuals need it. They need third round. They need that assistance right now. I think the disagreement in Congress is the state's challenges and the state's budgets and how they're impacted by the virus. And I think there's political disagreement on whether or not the state should get quote unquote bailed out. And I think that's what's holding everything up. Unfortunately, the business impact is being held hostage, so to speak, as a result of the political side of this. So, you know, after the election, I think it'll get a little clearer, regardless of who wins the election, because I think both political parties will understand who has the leverage and the power, and it'll go in one direction or the other. And I think that it's coming. I think mid-November, we should hear and feel something from Congress that will, you know, give another round of stimulus. And I think that's going to be severely needed in order to to right the ship, so to speak, in a lot of the industries I previously mentioned. So it's kind of a wait and see and hold on. But, you know, from an interest rate perspective, our expectations are that interest rates don't move hardly at all for at least the next 12 months. You know, we're okay if they hold still. I think from both a borrower's perspective and as well as from our banking industry perspective, I think we're okay if we hold at these levels. Certainly if they go in either direction quickly, I think that will be an enormous challenge for a lot of us. But the whole pandemic has had such a huge impact on what happens. So to try to predict is going to be totally contingent on, you know, the impact that the virus has on businesses opening. And my personal belief, I think until we have a vaccine and have some improvement on people's confidence to be able to go out, we're in this standstill state for quite a while, at least until spring, I think.
This is Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West Magazine. I'm talking with Tom Seneca. He's the president and CEO of People's Bank in Holyoke. We've been talking about the pandemic and banking and the economy and all those things. Let's talk about stimulus a little more. The people I've talked to, and I'm sure you handled a number of these loans yourself, this was a lifeline for a lot of businesses. It enabled them to make it through those really difficult first few weeks, first few months. Now that stimulus isn't there anymore. There's obviously, as you said, there's talk about another stimulus package. But even if there is, and this pandemic continues into next spring, businesses are going to need continuing rounds of stimulus to keep on going. Can the government keep doing this? Can we keep providing stimulus packages to get us through this? Because businesses aren't going to, a lot of businesses aren't going to survive without help.
No, they're not. And, you know, we can get into the government side of providing stimulus. I mean, when you look at our national debt, it's through the roof right now with all the stimulus money. And, you know, from an interest rate perspective and in how we buy treasury bonds sometimes. And when you look at how much debt the government is issuing and the interest on that debt, because interest rates are so low, they can do this. And one of the reasons I believe interest rates are going to stay low is with the government issuing so much debt. If interest rates rise, quite frankly, the government's not going to be able to afford to pay the interest on the debt. The interest is going to become such a large portion of the federal government's operating budget that they're not going to be able to afford to pay the interest. And I'm afraid to see what that does to our economy. But that's the scary part of this stimulus package. It's not free money. It's money being issued on, you know, our kids' obligation in the future. It feels good now, and I think that's what's generating the stock market right now. Is the only reason the stock market is doing well is all the stimulus money's in the system. Otherwise, we wouldn't see what we're seeing, in the gains in the stock market. And when that disappears, you'll start to see, I think, some downside in the stock market as well. So no, I don't think the government can continue with the stimulus side. Which is why I think you see the disagreement in our political circles over whether or not we need to open business or continue to keep, you know, clamped down. It's a conundrum and it's a challenge. And I don't envy anyone in the position of having to make decisions of controlling the virus versus opening up business. And it's a tough one. So we will see. But I do think we need to have a controlled opening and some way to keep the economy going. And I keep saying I don't want to get political, but I do wonder sometimes if the cure is worse than the problem.
There are a lot of people saying that right now, mm-hmm. even as we see some of the measures being stepped up again, going back a phase or back a step. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, late March, early April, all over again. And as you mentioned, there are a lot of businesses that are, they're hanging in there, but they can't hang in there for much longer.
Yeah, I don't think they have a choice right now. Some of them are breaking even. Let's say they're breaking even. They're going to break even for how long? A lot of them are spending their savings just to stay afloat. And you know, only they know how long. I can tell you there's a manufacturer we have as a customer who's been in business for 75 years and is completely shut down and is toying with the idea of totally shutting down. They employ over 100 people. They haven't been back to work since since COVID hit, but they don't see light at the end of the tunnel until at least spring. And they're toying with the idea of totally shutting down, and they're not sure what they're going to do. But, you know, they feel obligated to their 100 employees. They feel obligated to themselves, as that's their livelihood. And I'm sure it's such a tough decision. Do you start spending your savings hoping you're going to get to the end of this and be able to turn it around? And I wish I had answers for them, but it's a tough decision.
Hmm. So as far as that first round of stimulus, we're now in the period of PPP and the forgiveness stage. Your bank busy with helping these businesses with that process and all that paperwork?
You want to talk PPP? I just we are. We you know, when this thing started, we had, just to give you perspective on this, we had almost 1,000 customers that, between phone calls of saying I can't afford to pay my mortgage or my commercial loan, in addition to those that reach out and wanted a PPP loan, we had about 1,000 customers. After the first 3 months, of those 1,000, about 500 of them were applying for PPP. We're now in the stage of, you know, trying to manage through the forgiveness process. And again, our government is sitting on a proposal from our banking industry that says, please just allow, if you have a loan of $150,000 or less, just forgive it. That would not only for People's Bank, but I hear this throughout the industry, about 75% of the loans made under PPP were under $150,000. The amount of resources, paperwork, time and money that is being spent on applying for forgiveness under the current rules is enormous burden on small business at a time that they don't have it. They have to pay accountants, they pay advisors. It is extremely time consuming at a time they're trying to balance running their business with applying for this. Congress is stuck in the water on that. And they haven't really given any indication whether or not they're going to come out and allow the $150,000 or less total forgiveness. In my opinion, they should. I think 99% of the people are going to qualify for forgiveness. It only would expedite the process for everyone, the borrower, the bank, and the SBA. And the SBA is totally unprepared for the volume that they got in this whole process. So we're just waiting to see. We've encouraged people who have 150 or less to just kind of sit and wait, because the process will be much easier if it passes. Some just want to get out from underneath the burden of it hanging there. So we've probably had, I'm looking at my numbers here, 25 out of 500 that have applied for forgiveness, which is a very small percentage of those that are out there. So I think people are heeding our warning and waiting to see what Congress does. But then I hear at the same time, they're talking about a round three of, so we're going to be in this PPP business model for a while if round three comes up, not only from a forgiveness perspective, but a round three of, you know, issuing more loans. So it's a new world. It's just a new world and a new line of business, so to speak, too.
A new line of business?
Unfortunately, we're forced into that line of business. Not one we chose, but we're forced into it. And certainly want to help our customers. And they're struggling. There's a lot of companies that are calling with questions. And unfortunately, it's a challenge because we don't have all the answers, because the SBA hasn't come out with all the answers yet. And, you know, it's just the nature of what it is. It doesn't feel great, but it's the nature of what it is.
A whole lot of waiting and seeing going on.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that when the election is over, we should have maybe a better idea of where all this is heading. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that? Isn't going to clear up everything, I'm sure. And there's many question marks about next year. A lot of people are saying 2021 is going to be worse than 2020.
2021 worse in what sense? From a political perspective or from an economic
perspective? Yeah. From a recession perspective?
I mean, as I talk about our customers who are struggling, and it could get worse, I think, if a lot of those companies or businesses don't reopen and unemployment continues to climb. I mean, it's shrinking a little bit, but I think that's more a function of the summertime reopening of some of the businesses. But as we go into fall and winter, I agree with that assessment that it's going to, you know, it could get a lot worse. You asked me about whether or not, you know, after the election, I think what's happening right now is, as I mentioned earlier, that one bill, everything's lapped into one bill, and it's not going to move forward unless our political parties get what they want. I think, and I'll, you know, if Trump wins, I think you're going to see the states not get the bailout that I think, you know, the Democrats want. If the Democrats win, I think you're going to see a movement towards a larger stimulus bill that is going to be far reaching, not only for individuals, businesses, but also states and cities and towns that will include, you know, a lot more stimulus. That's great for the economy today, which you know, some people believe it is great for next year. It is, but longer term, the larger the debt we keep issuing is going to become more and more a burden on our federal government and our federal budget. So when I say I think it contingents on the election, they're just waiting to see who's going to end up with more leverage. And, you know, and certainly with the House and the Senate, if that, you know, is all one party come next year, you'll see a lot of things move in a certain direction. So it's kind of wait and see.
Well, this whole notion of printing money, it's very, very interesting. We've never seen anything like this in this country's history, and we don't know where it's going. Like I said, the businesses need it now. The individuals need it now.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think our politicians see that and agree on that. It's just like every bill that goes through Congress, when you start attaching or having more in there that's more controversial, the important stuff doesn't get through. And I think that's where we're at right now.
Well, Tom, thank you very much. You've been very insightful, as always. Continued good luck to you and all your customers. And I'm sure we'll see you down the road.
Thank you very much, George.
Very soon. We'll have you back. This was great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West Magazine. We'll see you next time.